Yesterday, we spoke with the CEO of Torchlight, a company that's contracted by large businesses as a free benefit to employees, providing online information to help them navigate the care of disabled children, and now with the new Torchlight Elder, aging parents. But most people don't have that at work, and many of the 44 million unpaid caregivers, usually but not exclusively women taking care of parents or spouses, often have to leave work because it's so consuming. Before they know it, years go by, actually an average of 4 years. They lose their paycheck, but something else that might help them when they grow older, a contribution to their Social Security accounts. And now there's a bill pending in Congress that would give them a credit for the years lost. Gail Hunt is president and CEO of the National Alliance for Caregiving. They study stats on caregivers. Gail, welcome.
Thank you.
And we should say this push goes even broader to people who aren't exactly even leaving work, but are devoting, you know, mainly women who've raised kids and then they end up also turning around and caring for the elderly in their family. There's a push to get them some sort of credit as well. But do we know how many people there are who are leaving work to care for someone?
Well, I worked on these numbers a little bit, starting out with the 44 million people. About 60% of them work, and about 60% of those people have to make some kind of workplace accommodation. So they come in late, they leave early, they take a leave of absence, drop back to part-time, that sort of thing. 10% of them actually have to retire early, take early retirement, or quit their jobs entirely. So those two groups, that represents 10%, or about 1.5 million people.
Right. And the people who have to take different kinds of jobs or alter their jobs, you know, they might also be losing income and therefore losing the contribution they make from paychecks into their Social Security. So,
well, not just into Social Security, but into their pensions as
right,
well.
Right, for those who are lucky enough to have them. Look, I can hear people saying, who are not yet familiar with elder care, I can hear them saying, well, why would you have to do this? Isn't there care provided through insurance or government programs? Well, let's just explain. Medicare doesn't cover home care. Many commercial plans don't, or they have qualifying factors. Medicaid varies from state to state. I will share that and have before. Under New York law, my mom could get 24-hour care in the home we bought her in New York. But in Massachusetts, where I am, they don't offer that round-the-clock Medicaid care, so she couldn't come and live with me. This gets much more complicated than people know until they're really in the middle of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your story, Robin, is one that's repeated over and over because there are so many caregivers who are sort of struggling with this balance of work and family. We can't afford often to have a full-time or even nearly full-time in-home care. Mm.
And people should check if they think they even have long-term care insurance. Sometimes it's a shared care. In other words, you have to pay into it even though you've bought the insurance, which can get very expensive. So look, here we are with a move to have an expansion of Social Security to give credits to these people who are unpaid family caregivers. Hillary Clinton is now calling for it. Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy introduced a bill in March. Bernie Sanders was calling for it. What would a caregiving Social Security credit look like?
You would have to apply for this as part of the your IRS saying, and you'd have to give verification of the fact that you'd actually quit your job to do caregiving. You wouldn't get 100% of your income that you would have gotten, you'd get some percentage of that as a part of what's set aside for you in your Social Security account.
And what kind of money are we talking about here? Have you crunched the numbers? Do we know how much income people on average are losing when they quit to care, give, and then how that translates into the Social Security payments they would have gotten, you know, when the time comes?
So we know that, for example, typically women are going to lose in the range of $125,000 when they retire. That'll be the shortfall that they have at retirement age. For men, it's slightly less than that because even though their income is higher, they tend to be taking fewer years off. And the thing to keep in mind, number one, when you're thinking about leaving your workplace, you're thinking about, can we afford the hit to income? typically you're not thinking about Social Security and pension and the fact that when you get that statement from Social Security, you're going to have a couple of blank years there. Also, I think often family caregivers, when they're contemplating this, it's in the stress of I've got to feel peace of mind that somebody is helping mom to do activities of daily living, to do bathing, dressing, feeding, toileting, and maybe even doing things like cooking and laundry and that sort of thing. And so the caregiver really should think about, is it possible, for example, to have other family members pitch in to help pay to have an aide right now,
yeah,
so that I don't have to quit my job?
I was just going to say, the average age of caregivers when the numbers are crunched isn't, sort of late 40s, which begins to become their peak earning years. And also, if they're taking 4 or 5 years off on average, which is what it turns out to be, it's much harder to get back in the workforce.
Absolutely. That's something that we've not addressed really at all in the U.S., but they have in Europe. They actually have created programs that help family caregivers get training so they can get back into the workforce, even if they're in their 50s. But we haven't really addressed that because we haven't addressed any of this issue, really. We're just starting now to talk about Social Security credits.
Look, there's a move to expand Social Security on many levels for widows and widowers. When a couple has a combined Social Security account and one of them dies, suddenly it's halved. And there's a move to, especially for low-income widows or widowers, there's a move to try to correct that a little bit, to try to have some sort of Social Security for people who care for children their entire lives. There's a broad movement to expand Social Security.
Yep.
What do you say to people who say, we can't? We already know that Social Security is projected to run out in, decades, but there are moves to raise taxes and different ways to try to help that. But people look at that and they say, we can't.
Well, I understand that completely. I'm not sure that we can afford to pay for all of those people who I know believe that they should be reimbursed. And I don't think, I think we have to maybe take a little more creative way of looking at it. It's going to be tough, but if we don't help out the family caregiver, they're not going to be able to keep doing it. And they're going to push this responsibility onto Medicaid. And then the person spends down and they're on the taxpayers' dollars for a much bigger hit.
So pay one way or pay another way.
Yeah, or pay the other way big time.
Right. But another criticism is that, why should the government be handling this, expanding Social Security? You've given some reasons, but why not it be the employer? Employers be more flexible, pay for some of this care, offer more services.
Oh, I think employers definitely should do more. But employers are not going to be able to give a caregiver paid leave for 2 years. I mean, that's really unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
What they're generally proposing is respite care, perhaps they'd give, or information and referral on an enhanced basis. There is a movement to do paid family medical leave. That is like what's happened in California, and I think there are two other states where they take the money out of workers' comp. But if you have to take off the 12 weeks that is currently available under family medical leave, you can take that and get a certain portion of your income reimbursed for you, as well as your job is held for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, with caregiving, you're often talking about years. We want to hear from our listeners who are going through this about this idea of getting Social Security credits for the years they've had to leave the workplace to care for a loved one. I'm sure we got some conversation started. Gail Hunt, President and CEO of the nonprofit advocacy group National Alliance for Caregiving. Thanks so much for starting it.
You're welcome.